have any idea what it's like to go up into Larry Doby and drive through the parking? There is a massive hole that no matter how much dirt you guys throw in it, because I've had dirt thrown into it twice from other people. Mr. Burns, twice in the last 4 years, has filled up this hole. It's 8 feet wide, 8 feet long, and almost 2 feet deep, and it's there twice every ball season. I don't know what happens to this dirt. It magically disappears. But you have problems that you're not willing to take care of now, and yet you want to give us a shiny new something.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right, if we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? And once you come to, you realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?
With a 5-1 vote, Kershaw County Council voted for $6 million for the Woodward Park Boondoggle Travel Baseball Field in spite of the outcry of the people against it. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Kershaw County Liberty Report. Again, I'm your host, Jeff Maddox. Ina, throughout the years, the decades, I've seen council after council after council come. And with each and every one of them, their plans, their visions, their focus is different from the previous. Yet in every single case, they are about growing government and doing good things for the people. Each and every time they hire these experts to formulate a new vision or a new scheme or our new focus, and we've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars over several decades getting experts to study to give us a new vision. This time is no different. They had experts come in that said travel baseball is the way to go, it's for the kids. Well, is it for the kids? Is it because we have such obesity with kids? Is it because they're all on Ritalin and SSRIs and transgender drugs? Is it about the kids? Or is it more on special interest? And at Tuesday night's meeting, the last meeting in June before the deadline for the budget, the law says you have to have the budget in by July 1st. On that last day, last meeting, the mama bears came out. And the mama bears had a lot to say in the public hearing at County Council. First up, we have Amanda Stevens. You guys follow the Liberty Report. Amanda is a stalwart at County Council and does an excellent job of pointing out the facts. So, if you hadn't already listened to it, here's Amanda Stevens talking to Kershaw County Council.
Last time I was here, I spoke about truth. Trust only comes from knowing people who are being truthful about what's going on, especially in government. We must get back to the truth with we the people, or we the people will put someone else in that will be truthful and provide transparency. This body just 2 weeks ago tried to say that they were blindsided by a sewer grant, given that the sewer grant was applied for being contingent on the use of ARPA funds. These funds meant to go to infrastructure or other areas hit hard by the pandemic, like first responders. So let's get to the truth, shall we? Truth, in September of 2022, this body applied for a South Carolina Infrastructure Investment Program grant that was contingent on ARPA fund allocation of $9.9 million. Truth, in March of this year, this body approved a motion allocating $6 million of ARPA funds to recreation pending a review from the Finance Committee. Truth, in April this year, this body, including the Finance Committee, received communication regarding the grant approval that stipulated the $9.9 million was to be allocated from ARPA funds. Truth, in May of this year, just a few weeks after the approval from the grant was received, this body approved a motion, and I quote, $6 million in ARPA funds will be allocated in the budget for use on suitable recreation projects and, to the extent necessary, reallocated from sewer projects. Truth, in June of this year, after this body willingly and knowingly reallocated funds from ARPA from sewer to recreation, the grant was then accepted, signed, and returned. All truths that are all in writing. If you think we believe you when you say you had no idea about this grant, I can't help you. If you were sitting on the Finance Committee where this motion in May of 2023 came from, you had to know you're reallocating funds based on the fact that it was stated in the motion. Is it any wonder we the people don't trust you? You sat there last meeting and lied to all of us and expected us to not do the homework. Shame on you. But I don't just want to focus on the sewer grant today, especially since it appears the grant agreed to assist you in allowing only $2.5 million of taxpayer match to accept the grant. Never mind that we somehow have $2.5 million in reserves to pay for this. We'll focus on that a different day. This is about the ARPA money going to infrastructure, public safety, and utilities. This is about the line item in this budget that specifically calls out recreation projects for $6 million that will now force this money to go to recreation, no matter who sits on this council and how far into the future these projects go. What a nice way to reward your constituents. Put them on the hook for spending $6 million in taxpayer funds just on recreation in this economy. In other economy, I might be standing right in line with you saying, let's spend money on baseball fields. But this is not an economy where your constituents have excess cash to allow them to focus on sports for their kids. The Goldman Sachs Housing Affordability Index is based on three factors: household income, housing prices, and mortgage rates. That number right now, and that number right before the 2008 financial crisis was 75. In 2013, that number was 148. Now, it's a historic all-time low of 70. No one can buy houses right now. Where will all your baseball fans move from that will use this recreation park as an excuse to purchase a house in Camden? Because at the moment, according to The Economist, middle-income buyers can only afford 23% of homes. That number was 50% only 5 years ago. Seems our growth problem may solve itself, given the affordability is so low. Home sales this year are down 40% just in 1 year. Again, I say to you, where is the influx of people going to come that will use this new ballpark that no one can afford, from a house that no one can afford? How about inflation? Despite this being avoided in all news agencies, unfortunately for us, inflation is still around. Consumer price inflation rose 4% in just May alone. Car insurance prices rose 17% in 1 year. Prices for vehicle repair and maintenance rose 14%. How about those 4th of July parties that we're all going to be having next weekend? Dairy's up 10%, bread's up 22%, soft drinks are up 14%, and beer is up 8%. Chips, those are up 15%, and these are all numbers in the last year. All in all, your 4th of July barbecue is going to cost 17% more this year than it did last year, according to The Hill. And that doesn't count the fact that inflation started building well before this time last year. While overall inflation numbers have cooled from 4% to 9%, That does not mean your constituents are not feeling it. Just look at this next week's festivities and ask folks at the parade on Saturday if they're happy about the economy. The Fed skipping rate hikes this month has some saying it will be the worst yet to come. Fed economists say a historic 37% of companies in the U.S. are in big trouble and warn that could worsen the fallout from fighting inflation. These companies will not be hiring new workers, opening new plants, or ramping economic production. If Kershaw County is looking for companies to come save the day, this is not a good economic outlook that you're able to line this up. Look, I'm here every meeting reminding you of the priorities, reminding you that you have to be open and transparent. We the people are watching, and this new council already has a bad track record. Do the right thing. Reject the budget. Call a special meeting on Thursday before the July 1st deadline and amend the budget to reallocate the funds properly, to lower EMS response time from 20 minutes in part of the county, to upgrade the jail to avoid the ceilings falling down. Again, all high priority items that this council deemed high priority, not me, you. Recreation is not the priority for we the people. So why is it for you? Truth and transparency. This is what this county needs to start to trust their government. And it looks like we'll be disappointed again. Thanks.
Thank you so
much. You know, all throughout this, county council claims that there was overwhelming support for this new travel baseball thing. And when people would go around the county and talk about it, they couldn't find any of the supporters, with only a rare few exceptions that would come to county council and advocate for travel baseball, and county council themselves. Nobody supported this at all. So after Amanda got through speaking, another mama bear came up, Belinda Webb, and she had a lot to say about what county council is doing.
Belinda Webb.
Got you. Welcome.
Amanda Stephen is a hard act to follow. Good evening. I'm a 20th year resident of Kershaw County, and I spoke at the last meeting regarding my concerns about the wavering to the commitment of the usage of the ARPA funds for funding water treatment and sewer needs. So I'm going to expand upon that and provide some context this evening by sharing a personal experience that I had last June. Last June, I developed persistent, unexplained hives and swelling, and I was encouraged by my physician to examine all changes in my routine to identify the reason for the problem. One of the possible culprits suspected was a recent breakthrough in high mineral concentrations in our well. My husband and I used this opportunity to look into transitioning to public water service, as we wanted to examine this situation based upon a cost-benefit approach, something I would recommend that the council do. Cost-benefit for the entire county. I called Cassett Water, the provider for many families on the street leading into our property. I was surprised by the response I received when I contacted Cassett Water. It was clear that no one had any interest into looking into how to achieve water hookup for my home. It became a negotiation for service. I explained that what had formerly been a group of mostly vacation and second properties was now an enclave of full-time residents that may very well be interested in assisting with infrastructure costs to have access to city water. I ended up being passed from Pam Wise to a Mr. Boykin, who said an engineer had to be assigned to examine the feasibility of laying lines to our and other homes in the area, and that an appointment wouldn't be available likely for a year or longer. Here, I have an email in my possession when this nonsense started, of June 24th, 2022, and I went on that crazy train for about 6 weeks before I finally gave up. Mr. Boykin asked me yet a third time if the road leading into our home was a public road. I assured him it must be because the county sent trucks there to grade and regrade it constantly, and RiverNet had crews laying cable for high-speed service at that very moment. They never moved forward with me, and I was tired of the lack of urgency, tired of calling and emailing, and finally my husband and I spent well over $4,000 on our well, and it's working fine. In addition to personal residence concerns with water usage and water availability and options, our local gas station dinette, the River Deck, probably well known to many, routinely has to close their restrooms for public use and direct customers to the porta potties on the property in the back during the height of the summer season. Suffice it to say, I take issue with the comments that were made last meeting minimizing the need for serious examination of our water facilities for both businesses and residences in this county, and instead such a rush to put so much of those ARPA funds that were designated for such a project as water and sewage treatment to ball fields. The comment was made last meeting that only 4,800 residents were on public water. Well, based on my own experience that I just shared, I find that comment a little misleading. How many people have actually been given the choice to be on anything else? How many families have gone through this same situation that my husband and I have been through, but perhaps don't have the means that we have when options aren't provided? Finally, last Friday, I dropped in to see my husband at the tennis center that was built not so long ago that services less than 1/1,000th of a percent of our population in our county. It was done, I think, at the urging of at least some of our prior county council, and is currently staffed and maintained with taxpayer dollars, as far as I understand. On a beautiful afternoon in the middle of the summer with kids out of school, my husband was the only person in the facility that wasn't an employee. A part-timer was practicing his tennis returns on the ball machine, and someone was there cleaning the facility. That's a 3-to-1 ratio of employees to customers on a Friday afternoon. This facility that charges fees to approximately 100 tennis members and allows pickleball players to play for free and hasn't yet supported itself financially. On this day, the largest population there was actually a group of birds that have built nests atop the columns in the facility to raise their young. I guess it's so quiet and peaceful there because they don't really have any customers that it's probably a really safe place to breed your young. We were told then, as we're being told now, build it and they will come. And now again, yet another council is serving another special interest group's needs and concerns that supports a fraction of a percent of our population, and many who you're proposing to serve with rec ball don't even live in the county by choosing this. You are supporting people that aren't even here. If you try and tell me that this refund allocation is fiscally conservative use of taxpayer funds, well, to paraphrase Judge Judy, please don't tinkle on my leg and try to tell me it's rain. Thank you, gentlemen. I yield my time.
Thank you.
And when you consider these special interests, most of these are people with money, lots and lots of money, and lots and lots of political influence. But one might say, you know, why don't these people use their philanthropic nature and spend some of their money and collectively bring together a bunch of people and build your own travel baseball park and then give it to the county or something? But no, this is not how these kind of people work. These kind of people will advocate and spend a small amount of money to be able to get a hold of taxpayer money to build what they really want. And that's what's going on here. You've got a small group of influential people who are putting the burden of their dreams on the taxpayers of Kershaw County, and county council is an accessory to the crime. Where are all the men? Where are all the men who are upset about this, about the taxation, about the lies, about the ARPA funds switching, about anything, about freedom for their kids or any of that? There are very few men in Kershaw County. We have wimps. It's not ladies and gentlemen, it's ladies and wimps. So the third and final person to speak at county council at the public hearing on the budget was Miss Sissy Webb. And boys, I'm here to tell you, she's got more cojones than any man in Kershaw County.
2 Tuesdays ago, I stood before you as a concerned grandmother. The same concerned grandmother stands before you today. This time, she's upset with each and every one of you. And the couple of you that have been here forever, she's furious with. My grandson, 2 nights after I stood before you, I believe I told you he was on the all-star team for the county and was going to be playing in a tournament in Hartsville that coming weekend. 2 nights after I spoke to you guys, my grandson, while fielding a ball at Larry Doby, ran into the fence that was supposed to have a cap on it. 6 stitches from here to here. 6 stitches, but only 1 inch away from an eye being lost or someone being blind. Your neglect to keep up what you already currently have needs to come before anything new you're wanting to do. You're wanting to redo a ball field that if it rains for 3 hours will flood. You don't have parking for. It's as antiquated as the day is long. And you have all these other properties that need work with field fencing, bathrooms, concessions, parking. Do you have any idea what it's like to go up into Larry Doby and drive through the parking? There is a massive hole that no matter how much dirt you guys throw in it, because I've had dirt thrown into it twice from other people. Mr. Burns, twice in the last 4 years, has filled up this hole. It's 8 feet wide, 8 feet long, and almost 2 feet deep, and it's there twice every ball season. I don't know what happens to this dirt. It magically disappears. But you have problems that you're not willing to take care of now. And yet you want to give us a shiny new something. Let's take care of what we have before we go off trying to come up with something new and different. You don't have the support system for your ball field or your tournaments that you're wanting. As a member that was of the Columbia Visitors Bureau and its tourism development, I helped bring the Columbia Visitors the Columbia Convention Center to light. We couldn't do it because we did. Bob Coble, the mayor, wouldn't have it. He didn't even want to talk to us. He showed us one picture, and it was 9 o'clock at night in Columbia, South Carolina. There were hardly any dots of life. There was no one there. He says, before we can have a convention center, you've got to have something for the people to do. And that's how you got the Vista. The Vista had to come first. The economic development to be the foundation for the convention center had to come first. The economic development for your traveling ball tournaments has to come first, and you don't have it. you have almost one quarter of the beds you need. Now, I'm an old hotel girl, so I talk a different language than you guys do. That's okay. You don't have the tables you need to feed these people on. We're a small market, so we're only going to get small blueprint floor plans for hotels, which means 40 rooms, maybe 60. A 40-room hotel will hold two ball teams. You have four of those in this county that are worth selling. You don't have what you need, and you're not taking care of what you have. Gentlemen, I have met almost all of you personally, and I respect all of you personally. Some of you I have known quite longer than others. Some of you I have met just very recently. But any time money comes into the equation that causes the problems that this $6 million that you're adding to a $6 million to another $2 million to make $14 million, this $6 million is causing problems in this community. And I'm sorry, anytime money causes problems in a community like that, it's probably not based on a firm, good, godly foundation. This concerned grandmother doesn't want to have to be concerned for her grandchildren playing ball. One inch from the loss of an eye. Thank you, gentlemen.
So the 5-1 vote, the passing of the budget with this Woodward Park thing in there, was already expected. The reason that it passed is because there were not enough people outraged enough to get up off the couch, to quit drinking your little Bud Lights, and go in and tell them to stop their foolishness. That's the reason you got shitty government. That's the reason that the police are off, out of bounds. That's the reason we're in the war in Ukraine. That's the reason society is breaking down. Because there are lazy men and women, but mainly men, who don't give a shit about freedom anymore. They've had it too good. We've all had it too good. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. And those that would give up a little bit of liberty for the promise of security deserve neither liberty nor security, and you're not going to get it. So it's time that we all grow a set of cojones and get away from your normal routine and start protecting freedom. Until you do that, nothing else is going to change, and things are going to get worse. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the Liberty Report. This just in. Not only are things going to get worse, but the good old boys are going to protect themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Kershaw County Coroner, David West. Now, as many of you know, WIAS reported a while back on a boating incident, as many of us are familiar with the Wateree River, it took place down at the Elbow when a bunch of youngins were down there and a boat ran into somebody, another kid, and he was killed. It turns out the driver of the boat was the grandson of the coroner, Mr. David West. And from there, ladies and gentlemen, the convoluted corruption, cover-up, good old boy system kicked in. So here's the latest information put out by Fitch News. Another South Carolina boat crash steeped in scandal. Now, we already know that on Saturday, May May 6th, nearly 2 months ago, Kershaw County Coroner David West announced the death of a 15-year-old Camden High School student following a boat accident on the Watery River. According to West, the accident had occurred at approximately 10:16 p.m. on the previous evening, May 5th. It involved a collision between two boats at the bend of the river near Pine Tree Creek, also known as the Elbow. Most of us around here, anybody that travels that river at all, knows it as the Elbow, which is about a mile below the Interstate 20. The day after the crash, West told reporter Buchanan of LTX that both boats were moving when one hit the other, resulting in the death of the student. He declined to identify the victim, citing his status as a minor. West told Buchanan, people on both boats were friends and they were brush fishing at the time. A lot of people go down there and bush hook is what we call it. Set hooking is what the DNR calls it, where you tie line to a bush overhanging the tree, the river, and you set hooks in the water and you check them on a regular basis. Usually that's for catfish. No foul play was suspected in connection of it. So over the years, Wes has provided dozens of media outlets information related to hundreds of fatalities in hours after this tragedy. Nothing about the initial disclosures coming from his office seemed out of the ordinary. But 48 hours later, Wes confirmed to WIS his grandson was the driver of the boat. Now, driving the boat Newman was traveling in, on at the time was Zach Cameron, Wes' grandson. And Wes was heartbroken about it. And you can understand that. But Wes maintained no foul play was involved. They both swerved to try to avoid each other. There was no foul play, and they both had their lights on. The other boat hit him, but he never went into the water. People from both boats rendered first aid. There were four people on the boat that was hit and three in the other boat. So that's seven people there at the time. But what this lawsuit claims is Cameron had purportedly been either arrested or charged with drunk and disorderly conduct at the Cup, as well as ticketed for reckless boating in the weeks leading up to the collision. And these charges were inexplicably dropped, the lawsuit alleges. Now, it's stated in here, Cameron was able to purchase the alcohol due to his political connections in Kershaw County. Now, we all know about this good old boy system. Citing multiple witnesses, Cameron was drinking at the sandbar for multiple hours before the collision, including on the boat while leading up to this collision, and was intoxicated. So it appears that the young'uns were down on their elbow, been drinking down there all afternoon from beer to Cameron or whoever got from somewhere. And the negligence of Mathis, the driver of the other boat, and Cameron's inebriated status, that both vessels were driving in the middle of the channel at high speeds, headed toward a blind curve. Despite both boats swerving at the last second to avoid hitting each other, Mathis' boat collided with the back of Cameron's boat where Newman was sitting. What that tends to tell me is that they were following each other and they were hauling butt down the river. The one in front stopped real fast and the other one went right over the top of him. And when it became immediately apparent that something was wrong, Newman was bleeding profusely and it became unresponsive within minutes. But this is where the story takes a twist. According to the lawsuit, one of the first people on the scene was David West, the elected coroner and Cameron's grandfather. West's presence on the scene of the accident was irregular, and there was no indication of a fatality at the time of the initial call. What call? What call was that? Who called who? Who notified David West? And why did he go down on that river? As additional law enforcement officers began to arrive at the scene, things got more irregular. So, who was with David West? Was there any law enforcement with David West? And then, where did these additional law enforcement officers come from? Who are they? Coroner West actively engaged with these officials and inserted himself into the investigation, telling law enforcement that he, the coroner, had checked the kids, including his grandson, for alcohol, and that alcohol was not a factor. Meanwhile, witnesses have stated law enforcement, along with West, told defendants and Cameron and Mathis and other kids at the scene to dispose of any residual trash in the boats, which would include any indica of alcohol. Is there a cover-up going on here? These law enforcement officers also claim to have notified West of Newman's death, even though it was clear that Coroner West was at the scene the entire time. So they wrote in their report that they notified West. West was there. He witnessed it. What's going on here? It is unclear why other responding agencies, including the Kershaw County Sheriff's Office and the Department of Natural Resources, did not press further to determine whether alcohol was a factor in the collision or why and to what extent either department allowed Coroner West to participate in the investigation on the night of the collision. What is going on? Newman's family is ready for answers and wants accountability. Now, ladies and gentlemen, so do I. So should you. What's going on? So while the story is not complete, there are some dots here that we need to connect. And we understand that the boy was killed, and then there was an investigation. Now, the appearance is that somebody was drinking alcohol. Alcohol was involved in this. But Mr. West and others maybe told the youngins to get rid of the evidence that there was alcohol involved. Mr. West was even quoted as, he checked all the kids and there was no alcohol involved. We don't know who called who. When? Who reacted when? We don't know if there was a phone call from the grandson of Mr. David West to Mr. West, which started a chain reaction of events with DNR or the Sheriff's Department or whatever other people were involved. But we don't know whether the body was loaded onto a boat and transported from Devil's Elbow to the boat landing. Is that where medical procedures were, EMS and police and DNR, were they there then? Who went down river? Mr. West was apparently around in the area at the time. What happened? Who was involved? Who decided to get rid of the evidence? Destruction of evidence is a crime. Interfering in an investigation is a crime. To even consider that law enforcement told the kids to get rid of any evidence of alcohol, that breeds into those kids that it's okay to cover up criminal activity, and it's okay for police officers to cover up criminal activity. Who's involved in this? How deep does it go? Why hasn't Mr. David West resigned? Who else knows about this? Is county council aware of this? Are you aware of this? Is this another in a long list of examples of good old boys playing favorites and covering up for each other, as has taken place for many years in Kershaw County? We'll be following this story closely. That's it for this week's Liberty Report. This is Jeff Maddox reporting. Peace.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right. If we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? And once you come to, you realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?